Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I'm your teacher here in the Conqueror Sunday School class each and every Sunday, and I thank you for joining us today for our continued series of lessons from the lesson series Assurance, Launchpad for Righteous Living. Today, we'll be looking at lesson number 9. It's entitled Loving in Deed and in Truth, and it'll be taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. Today's lesson is for Sunday, March the 21st, 2021. Now, before we begin the lessons today, I want to remind you that I know there are many of you that do not have access to the internet, and there are many that are not able to listen to the lessons online, especially during this pandemic situation. We've not been able to meet here at church like we normally do. And we are doing these lessons online so as to help keep you in the Word of God each and every week. But I realize there are many of you that do not have access to the internet. So the Lord has blessed and enabled us to develop some ways that you can be able to listen to the lessons, both here for Sunday school and for church services, through the telephone ministry. If you have a regular home phone or a mobile phone of any type, you can be able to listen to our lessons. You can listen to them all through the week, and every Sunday morning the lesson will be updated. It's called the Conqueror's Dollar Lesson Phone Line Ministry. And you can access this phone line ministry by simply dialing from your home phone or from any other type phone. This number, 443-241-6746. You can call anytime, day or night. And when you call the number, you'll be given an introduction. I'll give you an introduction, and you'll have two options. You can listen to this week's Sunday school lesson, which is option number 1, and you can listen to it in its entirety, or you can press option number 2, and you can listen to the previous week's Sunday school lesson in its entirety. So I hope this will be a help to you. If you do have internet access, but you know someone, maybe a neighbor, a friend, a family member that does not, then give them this number to the Conqueror's Dollar Lesson Phone Line Ministry. And again, that number is area code 443-241-6746. Now, you can also listen to the Church of the Open Door services through this same type telephone ministry, but we have a different number for that. You can listen to the Sunday morning service, you can listen to the Sunday evening service, or you can listen to the Wednesday evening Bible study service through this COD dollar sermon number, which is area code 443-331-5866. You'll again have three options on this line. You can have option number 1, which will allow you to listen to the Sunday morning service. Option number 2 allows you to listen to the Sunday night service. Or option 3 allows you to listen to the most recent Wednesday evening Bible study service. So all of these numbers are available to you, whether you have internet access or not. You can listen to them while you're driving down the road and listen to the lessons and or the sermons in their entirety through these telephone lines. Then we have one new option that you can have for your daily Bible reading. Sometimes some of the passages we're reading, especially in the Old Testament scriptures, a little difficult with the words to pronounce and understand or to be able to read. So we have this option now available for you through the daily Bible reading phone line service. And that number is area code 810-642-4253. Again, that number is 810-642-4253. Now, each and every day, this is refreshed. It's new. You'll have two chapters from the Old Testament and two chapters from the New Testament. And it's updated every day so that you can be able to listen as you read along in your Bible to the Word of God. You can listen to it. You can hear it. You can hear how it's pronounced correctly. All right. And then you can be able to follow along and finish your Bible reading every day. And this will enable you to finish reading through your Bible in 1 year. So these are options that you have to be able to help you to be able to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. We want to be a help to you. And I hope that these things will indeed be a help to you. Then I want to give you one last announcement before we get into the lesson this morning. I apologize for taking all this time, but I feel these things are important to let you know. Our Spring Revival 2021 is coming up May 23rd through May the 26th. And we'll be having Evangelist Dr. John Hamblin with us. Brother Hamblin is a great man of God. He loves the Lord. He'll be preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, then Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Sunday morning, the service will begin at 10:45, and then Sunday evening, the service will be at 6 o'clock. That's on May the 23rd. And then on Monday night, May the 24th, the services will begin at 7 p.m. Monday night will be Friends and Neighbors Night, and we encourage you to bring your friends and neighbors, encourage them to come and visit for the services that night. Tuesday evening, May the 25th, will be Carroll Christian School Night, and we want to encourage all the students, the faculty, the staff, the parents of our students to be here for that night. Services will be especially for you. And then Wednesday night, May the 26th, will be Family Focus Night, and we want to encourage you to bring family and members of your family for that special service. Each night, again, the services will begin at 7 o'clock p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. Sunday morning at 10:45, Sunday night at 6 p.m., there will be nursery provisions made, and interpretation for the deaf will be available. So we want to let you know about these special dates coming up and these special ministries to be able to help you to continue on living for the Lord Jesus Christ and having full assurance of salvation so that you can live righteously for the Lord from day to day. All right, let's go into our lesson today, lesson number 9. I hope you'll follow along with us if you're online today. You can pull up the lesson outline. You can follow along with us. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin today in verse number 11. We're going to go down through verse number 24. Again, the lesson is entitled Loving in Deed and in Truth. Our lesson theme verse is found today in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Where John writes these words. He said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now I want to ask you this question today. As a child of God, have you been branded? You say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I don't understand what that means." Well, our lesson today deals with loving in deed and in truth. Christians should be marked by genuine love for others that follows Christ's pattern of love for sinners. And with this thought in mind, I want to ask you again this question, and then I want to tell you a little story. But first, let me ask you the question, are you branded? Have you been branded today? Or what is your brand? How do people know you as a child of God? You know, many people ask the question, "Man, what does it mean to be a child of God?" Well, let me ask you again, are you branded? We are branded as Christians. You know, people know you for what you are and for what you do. Now, people know some folks by the brand of clothes that they wear. When a person is lost and they're in sin, they're drinking a lot, they have that label as a drunkard put upon them. When someone's a criminal, a bandit, or a bank robber, they have a brand on them. People know you for what you are. Years ago in the western states, when the cattle just roamed the open prairies, there were very few roads and no fences. And in the early spring, when the mothers had their little baby calves, each farmer would go out and find their calves. And with a hot branding iron, they would brand their own calves. One rancher one day said to another, "Hey, you've just put your brand on my calf." The other rancher said, "Oh, no, we did not." The other said, "Yes, you did." The man said, "And I can prove it." "How can you prove it?" said the other rancher. "Let's let the calf go to its mother, and you see which brand that mother has," the man replied. Well, sure enough, the little calf ran right off to its mother, and the first rancher was right. The other fella had branded his calf. So they had to change the brand and get the right brand on that little calf, the brand of its rightful owner. Now, folks, listen, if you're a Christian and if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to wear a brand on your life so that people will know that you belong to Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That's found over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Now, he meant there that there was something about his life that let people know that he was a Christian. You know, it's easy to say, I believe in the Lord, when you go to Sunday school. But what do you say when you go to work each day, or to the grocery store, to the gas station, or even some of you may still be in school? What do you say in your life when you go to school? When you're out with the rest of the guys and you're out doing things with other people and they're swearing and they're telling dirty stories and they're doing things that you know they shouldn't be doing, do your colors show then? If you're a real, real Christian, then you ought to show your brand. You ought to show who you belong to. Folks, you ought to show that you're real and that you're a Christian and that you stand out and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We know all that. We know that we're saved. But it also goes down in verse number 11 of Romans chapter 10, and it said, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Boy, I hope you're not ashamed of the Lord. Are you ashamed today of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you wear your brand proudly? Boy, I hope you do. I hope that if you're a Christian, that you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, you're listening to this lesson today, I hope that you'll come to know Jesus by coming to trust him today as your own personal Savior. All that today, people around you and I as Christians would know that the members of the Conqueror Sunday School class are indeed truly born again Christians because of the brand of Jesus' love for others that we display in our lives from day to day. You know what? That's going to cause us to want to tell folks about Jesus. God's love for us ought to cause us to want to share the message of the gospel with everyone that we meet. And you know, this type of love will not only help us as Christians to know that we truly belong to Christ, but it's also going to help us to stand faithfully for God when fears and doubts are thrown upon us, when persecution comes, and when trials and tribulations are in our daily way of living. It's going to help us to know where we stand with God. All right? So let's look at the lesson today. I hope the Lord will help us to be found loving in deed as well as in truth today as conquerors. Now, John today gives us two great truths to determine specific and biblical ways that we can love in deed and in truth. The first truth is our commitment in love, as we're going to see here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. And then the second truth will be found in verses 19 through 24 as we consider our confidence in prayer. So let's look at the lesson today, as we begin today, loving in deed and in truth. First of all, if you'll follow along with us there on the outline, I want you to see point number one, commitment in love. You know, if you'll remember from our previous lesson, John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now here in that passage of Scripture, John gave two specific ways that you can tell the difference between God's children and the devil's children. He wrote in that verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, the first two words, he said, in this, in these actions, in these deeds, in these manners of living from day to day. Remember that God's children are marked, they're branded by their obedience to God as well as by their love to God and for those around them. But you see, the children of the devil, man, they're also marked. They're also branded by their lack of obedience to God and their lack of love for the things of God. So I want you to see point number A here. I want you to see the different priorities for love. And we see this in verses 11 through 15. For Christians, love for others is mandatory. It's mandatory. Look at it here with me today. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to look at this. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Now here, John writes, and I know this is not our verses that we're looking at in our lesson, but I want you to see these verses. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. John writes, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And I want you to go in that very same chapter, 1 John chapter 4. I want you to go down to verse number 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And here the Bible said, John writes, he said, "We love him because he first loved us." Now, folks, there ought to be a different priority for the love that you and I have since God saved us. I want you to look in our lesson, 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. And I want you to see what John is writing here. He said, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." You see, there's a different priority for love in the life of the children of God. The command to love is that old but new command that John discussed earlier over in chapter number 2, and that Jesus also gave unto his disciples before he went back to the cross back in John's gospel account in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. There, John tells us how that Jesus gave a new commandment to his disciples before he went to the cross. Listen to what he said. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We as Christians are obligated to love others, even as God, for Christ's sake, loved us and gave himself for us. And that, my friend, is the identifying mark of the child of God. That is your brand that you love folks. Listen, folks are going to offend you. Folks are going to hate you because you love Christ and you let them know that God loves them. And because the devil has hated Christ, guess what? Those folks are going to hate you as well. The devil's children are always identified by their brand as well. And boy, have not we seen that in our recent political activity going on in the world today? It's often identified by the hatred that they have for those who desire to do right. They hate the things of God. They hate the commandments of God. They hate the words of God. They hate the people of God. And this type of brand, as we read here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, it was first seen in the Garden of Eden in the life of Adam and Eve's son, who was named Cain. Cain hated his brother. Why? Because Abel did that which was right in the eyes of God. You know, I like to call this the mirror syndrome. Because the Bible, God's word, God's holy and inerrant word, it's like a mirror that shows us how things really are in our life and how God truly sees us. But you know what? It's sad to say, many people who look into the mirror of God's word, they don't like what they see in that mirror. And instead of allowing God's word to change them, to give them the motivation for change, they simply decide to change the mirror. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? They go to a different Bible. They don't use the old authorized King James Bible. No, they find one of these new perverted books that they call a Bible that's taken out the truths, that's taken out the things that we know that are true in the Word of God. It's watered it down. It's changed it to appease the flesh of men, women, boys, and girls who are still lost in their sin, or even in the lives of those who call themselves Christians but who don't want to live for Christ. They change the mirror. And instead of allowing the mirror to change them, they decide to change the mirror to appease themselves. False teachers in John's day were following this very same path that Cain chose, even as they do in our present day world. And in those actions, we see how and why Cain became the first murderer that was ever known in the Bible. Do you realize that false teachers and those who follow after them are, in all reality, spiritual murderers today? Yeah, they're killing people with the false truths that they proclaim, the false lies, the false doctrine that they teach. If someone knows the truth, and yet they deny the truth or they hold back from giving the truth to those who need it, they are spiritually leading folks to their death. And folks, I wouldn't want to be that way, would you? I want to stay true to the Word of God. I want to love in deed and in truth. Someday, one day soon, those folks are going to give account unto God for their evil deeds. But child of God, you listen to me. You and I are also going to stand before God and give account unto Him for our deeds, whether we loved in the way that we should, in truth and in deed, or whether we chose to compromise the Word of God and to follow after false teachings and false doctrines. Do you realize today, Christian, that you, as a born-again child of God, you are like a spiritual mirror before the eyes of the world? Do you realize that today? The closer we live to God, the more the world sees how far from God they really are. And many times, sad to say, this will provoke the world's hatred for God to be displayed against you and against me, even as they display that same hatred toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 13, the Apostle John writes, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Don't let it surprise you. If the world hates you, it's because they first hated Jesus. The world's problem is the same problem that we all experience because we're all born with a sinful nature. Because we were born with a sin nature, we were, by birth, the children of the devil. Now, that's the facts. You and I were the children of the devil. Why? Because we were born with a nature to sin. And that's why we did what we did before we got saved. And that's why the world does what it does even now, because they are not saved. But oh, thank God, I've been adopted. Amen. I've been adopted into the family of God. Amen. And I know Christ is my Savior. He knows me as His dear child. I've been born again through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that new birth, I need to make certain, as a born-again child of God, that my Christian experience proves itself to be real in all my actions, all my deeds, and especially through my love for the brethren and for the lost world around me. And so do you, dear child of God. Listen, I could never offer good marriage counseling to anybody if I was not loving my wife the way I ought to love her. Now, does that mean that my wife is perfect? No. Good night, no. Listen, does that mean that I'm the perfect husband? Well, no, I'm not. I just wanted to think on it just a moment. But listen, I'm not the perfect husband either. But no matter what position I may hold or what degree I may say I have, if my words are not backed up by my deeds, it's all for naught. Folks, if I say I love my wife, but I don't show her that I love her, I don't prove to others around me that I love her, those are just passing words, and they just fade away in the wind. And this goes for each of you as well, dear Conquerors Class member. As a child of God, listen, you need to let your testimony prove to the world that you really do belong to Christ. John said here in verses 14 and 15, he said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." Why? Because we love the brethren. "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So, child of God, there's physical murder and there's spiritual murder too. Don't murder those around you. Love them. Nobody's perfect. You're not perfect. But we've been made the children of God, and we need to love folks the way that God loved us. But not only do we have a different priority for love in our lives as Christians, but point number B, verses 16 through 18, we see here the divine pattern for that love. If you ask folks, most people believe that they're basically good people. But you know, the Bible tells us something in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that really throws a kink in that way of thinking. It says there, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, he said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible reminds us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And folks, it's because of this that we have a natural pattern of living that causes us to be selfish and self-centered, even as children of God. But Jesus Christ provided us a different, a better pattern for living that will change a person's life as well as their way of seeing things. And John talked about this here in verse 16. Look what he said. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby we understand it. We see it displayed," he said. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Sometimes we describe love as simply doing unto others as we would want others to do unto us. But you know, really, Christ-like love is doing unto others as Christ has already done for us. And as he loved us in the same manner, we are to love others. Love is for sharing. And even though few Christians are actually required to suffer as a martyr, all of us are called to die to self in order that others might live. Look at verse number 17. We see this concept displayed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You know, Christ didn't just say he loved the world, but rather he proved his love for you and for me by going to the cross and dying in our place. And as we, as born-again Christians, we need to have that same kind of love for one another and for those around us who are lost in their sin. True Christian, true Christ-like love is not just words that sound good, but true Christ-like love is made known, is made manifest when it's put into action. So in these first few verses, John shows us the commitment in love that we ought to have as truly born-again children of God. But then next, he shows us our confidence in prayer. Look at it. Point number two, we see in verses 19 through 24, we see our confidence in prayer. Now, one of the main purposes for John writing this letter, okay, was to reassure his readers that they truly belonged to Christ. False teachers had shaken their confidence, and John wanted to rebuild their confidence in Christ, as well as in the assurance that they had in the Word of God, which was their sure source of and foundation for truth. And the three marks of the child of God, which were obedience, truth, and love, those three marks, those three brands, they provide a twofold test, both for John's readers as well as for you and me today, so that we are able to distinguish truth from lies. The marks of obedience, the marks of truth, the marks of love in a person's life, they prove the fact that the false teachers are not genuine. And because of that fact, they should not be followed. But these three marks of a true Christian also proved to John's readers that they were indeed the children of God. And on that basis, they could have confidence when they went to God in prayer that God would not only hear their prayers, but that God would answer their prayer. Now look with me. Now I want you to see, number one, part number A, how confidence is sometimes threatened. Confidence is threatened. The devil wants to threaten our confidence in God and in his word. Look at what he said. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He said, "My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Here, John exhorts again those early Christians to love not only in word, not only in the things that we say, but in the actions that you put forth, in the deeds that we show forth. And this is in truth and in action. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, if you go there, he goes on to say, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." Then he writes in verse 20, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things." These false teachers had literally caused those early Christians to doubt God's word and thereby to doubt their own salvation. And if there's any one thing that the devil would really want to do to the child of God, it is to cause them to doubt God's holy word. And the devil knows that if he can cause the child of God to doubt God's word, he then can win the battle in making the child of God to be ineffective as a Christian, and in showing the reality of a changed life to a lost and dying world. Doubt is not denying God, but it does involve uncertainty about the reality of one's relationship with God. And if we refuse to trust God's word, then doubt becomes sin. And soon, sin builds a wall of separation between us and God. And our fellowship with God is broken. And the evidence of a changed life in Christ Jesus is soon diminished. And people can't see the reality that we do belong to Christ. This, folks, is why it is so important for us to stay in the word of God. Stay in the book and allow the book to stay in the you. Listen to me today, folks. This book that we call God's Holy Word, it will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Now, it's either one of two choices, and it's up to you to decide which one will be proven and effective in your life. If you allow sin to come into your life, then sin will keep you from the book, or this book will either cause you to stay away from sin. Confidence comes from trusting the facts of the Word of God, not from our own opinions and not even from the opinions of others. Stay in the book, folks, so that you can have confidence in your prayer life. But also look at verses 21 through 24. And here we see confidence thriving. John wanted his readers to have confidence before God that they truly were God's children and that they could come boldly before the throne of God in prayer. Look at what he said, 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. In other words, if we're right with God, then we can have right fellowship with God, and we can come boldly before him, especially when we go to him in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And then look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. John here reminds his readers that when they live out what they speak, when they live out what they say they believe, then they can have confidence that God will not only hear their prayer, but that God will also answer their prayer. Look at what he writes here in verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, if a child that's born to a mother and a father is obedient to their parents, and they love their parents, they have a good fellowship with their parents, those children are more likely to be heard by their parents when they come to them with a need than for one that is disobedient and always disobeying their parents and doing things that their parents say not do. The parents are going to most likely listen to that obedient child before they do to a disobedient child, are they not? And it's the same way with you and me as God's children. When we keep his commandments, when we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, he's ready and he's willing to not only hear our prayers, but he's willing to answer those prayers. And in verse 23, John gives a more detailed explanation of how Christians are to obey the Lord and to keep his word. Number one, he explains that in order to obey, there must first be a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that salvation. Look at what he said, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ." Then number two, he shows us this. John shows the readers here, both the ones in his day and you and I today, he shows us that we experience, after we experience true salvation, then we can experience the true love of God in our heart for others. Look what he said, "And that you love one another." And then he goes on, point number three, John reminds them that it is God's commandment that we love one another, and that it is God's commandment that we need to keep. It's not our commandment, it's God's commandment. Look what he said, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." You see, this is the commandment of God. We're doing what God said. In other words, if we love God and we receive his love in us, then we will in turn want and desire to love and obey him, and then we will in turn love those around us with the same type love that God had for me. Listen, so many times I see folks that are on drugs and they're just sad, they're downhearted, they're discouraged, folks are drunkards, they're trying to find joy and peace and happiness in things. And you know what? I look at them and I think to myself, were it not for the grace of God, that could be me. And you know what? Because of God's love for me, that God had for me, I can in turn love them and show them how much God loves them and wants them to be saved. Listen, if we are right with God, we'll be right with those around us. The false teachers of John's day fell short in both of these areas, and they fall short today as well. All these churches today go around and say, love, 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 and yet they never go out and tell anybody about Jesus. They're never going out and knocking on doors and going into those neighborhoods that nobody wants to go into and sharing with them the love of God, which came through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and showing folks how that they could be saved. But point number four, finally, John showed them here in verse number 24 that those who walk in the Spirit of God, can see what God is producing in their lives, and that evidence of God's working power gives confidence that we do indeed belong to God, and that God's great gift of salvation truly does belong to us. Look what he said. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us as believers, who encourages us through the Word of God. And he shows us that had it not been for the love of God displayed in our lives, then we would have no hope of eternal salvation with God in heaven one day. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, because Christ dwells in us and his love dwells in us, now we can go out and share that love with someone else. Christian, let me ask you something today. Does the world see your brand today? Your brand of true salvation? Have you been branded by Jesus, or are you still wearing the world's brand? There are so many churches out there today that are just putting out this thought that you can be like the world, you can act like the world, you can live like the world, you can talk like the world, you can listen to the world's music, you can do the things of the world and still be a Christian. But folks, that would be like me telling everybody I love my wife while I've got my arms wrapped around two other little things out here somewhere and just having a fun old time with them and never spending any time with my wife. Listen, folks, it just doesn't work that way. If you know Jesus as your Savior, child of God, Conqueror's Class member, if you know Christ as your Savior, you need to let your brand be known to those around you. Let your family see it. Let your family know that you belong to Christ. Don't wear the world's brand of Christianity. Wear Christ's brand of Christianity. Amen? Let's make certain that we're loving in deed as well as in truth today. And then if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you do not yet know Christ as your Savior, my friend, listen. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil keep you from knowing Christ as your Savior and being truly born again. You need to confess that sin unto God. You know what you've done. Listen, you don't have to do a great multitude of sins to be a sinner. The Bible said if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. But listen, you need to come to Christ and say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And God, I know that if I died today, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. And I don't want to die and go to hell. But I do believe what the Bible says, God, that you love me. And that you sent your son Jesus to die for me upon the cross of Calvary. That he was buried for me to take away my sin. And he arose again to give me eternal life. And Lord, I want to ask you today to forgive me of my sin. Come in my heart. And save me today. I receive you, Lord, as my dear Savior. My friend, if you will go to God with a humble heart and ask him in that manner, he'll save you because he loves you today. And he does not want you to spend eternity separated from him in that awful place prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's pray just a moment and we'll close the lesson. Father, I love you today. And God, I thank you for the privilege that you have bestowed upon me to be the teacher of this Conqueror Sunday School class. And Lord, I want to ask you, God, today to take the words of my lips, though frail as they may be. God, I pray that you'll take the words of my lips and use them today to speak to the hearts of those members of our class, first of all, that do know you as their Savior. God, help us to wear your brand proudly, unashamedly today before the eyes of those around us, so that the world knows that we're saved, so that the world can know that not just in the words that we speak, but Lord, in the deeds that we do, that we truly do love you, and that we love them and want them to love you. Lord, I pray, God, today that you'll help us to love in truth and in deed in all that we do. And Lord, if there be someone today that's never been saved, God, they don't know today that their eternal home would be in heaven with you. God, I pray that today you would help them to see their need of salvation and help them to humble themselves and bow their hearts and their heads before you and call upon you, Lord. You've made that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray, God, today that you'll help them to be willing to do exactly that and be saved today, to know that their sins are forgiven so that they can spend eternity with you in heaven one day. God, please speak to the hearts of all those who are listening. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you again today for joining us for our Conquerors Sunday School lessons online. Today's lesson has been entitled Loving Indeed and in Truth. I hope it's been a blessing to you from the book of 1 John chapter 3. Go back and look at the lesson outline. If you don't have access to a printer, we'll have the lesson outlines here that you can pick up just outside the Conqueror Sunday School class every Sunday morning, along with a prayer list for our class members. If you'd like to pick one of those up, feel free to do that. I thank you for listening to the lesson today. God bless you. We hope to see you in church. And until next Sunday, may the Lord bless you.